court, somebody ought to testify before, you know, before you get locked jaw and can't do it anymore. God help us. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. I want to preach today about a very crucial subject, and pertaining to bearing fruit and the consequences of being barren in our lives. You know, the Bible compares a Christian to a lot of things. And in the natural sense, to give us an idea of what we're supposed to be. How many are concerned this morning with whether the Lord is pleased with you or not? You think it's going to matter when we die if the Lord is pleased with us? Will it matter? Is he just going to save us whether we pleased him or not? No. God is not going to tolerate sin. It must be under the blood. Amen. We must be repentant. We can't be washed in the blood until we confess our sins. We can't just say that we're okay, as good as anybody else. We must confess our sins. And then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we get into the presence of the Lord and we hear him say, well done. Oh, we'll shout, no doubt. But then we'll realize if it wasn't for Christ, we couldn't have done it. And we'll cast our crowns at his feet. And we'll just be glad to be there. Can you say amen? Whoa, hallelujah. All right, I want you to look with me. It's a critical lesson here. Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to begin reading verse 17. And verse 17. Are you there? If you're there with me, say amen. Now, as we come up on 17, the Lord is he's just been in the temple. He has just made that quotation out of the mouth, Psalms 8 and 2. He quoted, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. Out of the simple things, out of the weak things, he has perfected praise. And so we talked that last Sunday. We talked about that. Now I want you to notice what in verse 17, the Bible said, and he left them. You say, you get a sermon out of every few words. And there is a sermon out of every few words. And he left them. Now, I think that we ought to, when we have the presence of the Lord, I think we ought to do everything in our power to maintain that presence in our life. What would you be without his presence? Well, I said, what would our lives be without his favor and his grace and his presence in our life? Now, I know that's not what this sermon is totally about, but it is, when it says he left them, it is talking about him leaving these Pharisees and chief priests and these folks that did not have an understanding of the scripture and really was trying to make these children shut up. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't want anybody else to believe it. Have you ever seen folks like that? They didn't want to live right, and they would hinder you from living right. They criticize you for living right. Huh? You don't do evil, ornery things, or you do something that brings yourself in conflict with the worldly system, they'll criticize you. Oh, you don't have to live like that. God don't expect you to be miserable. They think you're miserable. Where do they get that idea? But I tell you, these, you know, there comes a day, listen to me now, There came a day when Jesus walked out of that temple. Them old Pharisees and chief priests probably said, "Cool, great. I'm glad that guy's gone." Amen. I'll tell you, and as our lesson unravels here, you'll see where I'm coming from. But there does. Christ, in his miracle-working power, he did things that were good for folks. He saved them. He healed them. He raised people from the dead. What he did was those things, the multitude would come and he'd have compassion on them. Oh, come on now. Amen. But we're getting ready to see a lesson here. Amen. That another side of the Son of God. You say, well, I'm going to get ready to show you in this lesson of this fig tree. Now the Bible said that he left them and went out of the city into Bethany. Now Bethany was just a few miles on the outskirts of the big city of Jerusalem. And when the nightfall came, and he did it customarily, he left out of the city and he went out into the mountain or into Bethany or out away. Not just so he could get his nerves back together, but so he could have solitude to pray and seek the Lord. Amen. And so he went into Bethany and he lodged there. Now, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city. Now he went out of the city, spent the night there in the mountains, probably praying or resting. And then he in the morning, early, he was an early riser. Back into the morning, the Son of God went. And the Bible said these words, that the Son of God, in the morning, he got up. And as he went into the city, Jerusalem, he was hungry. Now, how many can relate to that? I want to tell you something. The Son of God can relate to us. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I know. Are y'all okay? Everybody all right in here? Is everybody warm enough or cool enough or soft enough? Whatever. I want you to get this little sermon. Praise God. I want you to notice. The Son of God was all man. You say he was? He really was. And he was all God. Now you say, boy, that's a mystery. Yeah, it is. I don't guess I could ever really explain all about it because his ways are farther, higher than my way. But here's what I want you to see in this. Amen. He did know how it felt to be hungry. And I'll tell you something else. At this point of his life, he was kind of poor. He had left all of the conveniences of home to go out and be an itinerant preacher and to travel around. And he didn't really have a lot of access, amen, nowhere to get breakfast. And he came into town hungry. How many knows that the Bible's talked about Jesus coming into Samaria and what stopped him at the well of Samaria? Does anybody remember what it say about him? Him being what? Weary. Sat on the well. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because of this natural inclination for that human body that he had came into, he got weary. Amen. And so he sat down. Here he is. Amen. There is a hunger comes on him. Now, I want to make a correlation here between this incident and our life. Amen. I want to ask you. Now, I know that he has gone to glory and been glorified back to his past state. Amen. But I'll tell you, there's still, amen, something the Lord craves out of you and I. Am I right or not? Look, we can't continue. If we keep continuing, amen, just, you know, what one scripture said that people were measuring themselves by themselves. You may be here this morning, you say, you know, well, I'm not as fat as Brother Randy, hallelujah. And you may get on the scale, and I may top out at, and did y'all get that? And you may top out a little less, and you say, well, I'm okay, but you don't measure yourself by me, because that may not be healthy. And he said, what you're doing in the spiritual sense, you're saying, I'm just as good as he is. And you pull out your ruler and you measure. Amen. But that's not our goal in life, is to be more spiritual than the church up the road. Our goal in life is to please the Lord and to bear fruit in our life. Come on now. I'm getting ready. I'm setting you up for this little trip down the road. When Jesus was hungry, that's what caused him to look at this fig tree. It was the hunger. Now he was going, now I don't know, I've never ate fig Newtons. They've probably been processed a little, you know, but I've never ate, anybody ever eat a fig? I'm sure you have. Are they good? I don't know. But breakfast. Hardee's, the Middle East Hardee's, was a fig tree. Jesus looked at it. Everybody knows this lesson, don't you? I'm just bringing it to your memory and helping you rehash something you've already heard. But it applies to a nation, and it applies to our life personally. The Lord hungered. We have got a generation. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're awful quiet today, and I don't want to make you mad. Amen. But I may. But I want to tell you, we've got a religious generation that thinks the Lord does not care how we live our life. Where in the world they got that, I'll never know. When I was a little boy, my mama, she'd say, the Lord will get you for that. Or the devil won. She'd switch back and forth, you know. But she'd let me know, the Lord is watching you, boy. Huh? Me and Brother Bob was over there. I was watching him grill that food, and we started talking. I looked up there at that little camera, and I said, you know, Brother Mike's probably watching us right now. I got that little security system up there, that little light, and, you know, that thing works because we haven't been broke into but once since we bought that security system. We should have just put up all them signs, and that probably would have done. I don't know, but that thing watches. You know, some fella come over there, you know, a lot of people on drugs in the area, and anything they can pull off and sell real quick, they'll do it because you're just wanting. And one fella broke in the window, and it caught him on. He was watching him, you know, and they arrested him pretty quick because, you know, they had a, you know, I mean, how horrible would that be for them to pull you in there and say, let me show you a little movie, and there you are climbing in the window, calling out stuff out of a church property. Boy, that'd be humiliating, wouldn't it? But here's the deal. The Lord saw everything you did this week. What would you do if I come in here Sunday morning and pulled down a big screen? I said, okay, I got a little new program here. The Lord has given me this machine, and all your thoughts are going to be played on this. Who would like to go first? Would there be any volunteers? No way. Huh? You think it's quiet now. But I want to tell you, the Lord is expecting something out of us, and he's watching us. He is, and one of the famous lines of this apostate church world is, don't judge me. Well, I'm going to tell you, try that on the Lord. Tell him not to judge you and see what he says about it. The Bible says, ye shall know a tree by the what? Say a little louder. By the church he goes to. You know the old saying, if it walks like a duck, well, you know the story, don't you? It's probably what? One man said, you know how you can track, tell a wolf in sheep's clothing? He said, it's hard, but you know how you can tell? Track him. It's because a wolf will make a wolf track. Hallelujah. Is that right or not? Boy, I'm going to get a little tighter here. God help us. You know how you can tell how spiritual someone is? Go home with them. Stay with them. 24 hours. See what they read. See what they watch. See how they say things. See how they treat their wife. Their husband. Getting tight in here, ain't it? Huh? He said, no, you shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. Now, I'm not much at grafting and stuff. I don't know, understand, Brother Mack. Maybe you've, have you ever grafted a fruit tree? I've never done that. I think it's amazing. We studied it up here. I say we. Yes, we. Studied it up here in school. But, you know, an apple tree cannot bear oranges. You say, boy, this is deep. I can't wait to hear this on the internet. Hallelujah. This is really a, hey, an orange tree does not bear bananas. How many already knew that? And did you know the Bible says, he that sinneth is of the devil? Yeah, sinners sin. Christians don't sin. Is that right or not? You're shaking your head, but I don't hear nothing rattling. Hallelujah. Huh? Now, Jesus come down the street. I think I got your attention. Hallelujah. Jesus come down the street, and from a distance. Now, you can read that. Are you there? Anybody there? Brother Bob, are you there? Let me go up here and read it. Ow! My knee. Excuse me. Ooh, I didn't mean to holler there. But pray for that bad knee right there. Boy, went shopping yesterday. Should have never done it. If Kenzie had had another $50, I would be in the hospital tonight. I'm glad she ran out when she did. Her birthday, you know. Here we go. Let me read it to you. It said, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon. Verse 19, 21 and 19. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. Now, what brought him to it? His hunger. He anticipated. Now, does your Bible have a chain reference there, Brother Bob? There's another gospel that says it a little different. When Jesus looked at it, he came expecting something to be on it. He approached that tree with an expectation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may come in here and you may say, well, you know, Brother Randy's expecting me to be there. And, you know, I really am. You know, Brother, the pastor is expecting me to live this way. And I may be. But he ain't. But the pastor ain't the one that's important. Am I right or not? I mean, he is important, but he's not the important one. What matters is what is God finding in your life. Well, I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. Now, this is important, church, and I'm getting ready to show you why it's so important. He came, did you find it? Luke. 13 and 6 of Luke, read that.
Uh-huh. And he came and sought fruit thereon,
mm-hmm.
and found none.
All right.
Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. For I come with it to the ground.
Mama. Go ahead.
And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year.
Whoa. Yes.
And if it bear fruit, well.
Yes.
And if not, then after that,
what?
Thou shalt
cut it down. Now listen, here I want you to see this. Number one in our lesson today, in our sermon here, number one is the desire of Christ to go to our lives, just like he went to this tree, expecting. If we don't have a standard in our life, if every man or woman does that which is right in your own eyes, we will be, amen, in chaos. There's got to be a standard in our life. That standard is bearing fruit, the fruit of a Christian. That's what God expects out of us. Am I right or not?
You're right.
Now, if you've been living your life this week just trying to suit your husband or wife or your workmate or your pastor, then you've got the wrong idea. When you realize what God requires of you and that He will empower you with His Spirit to get it done, and when we don't do that, we have failed the Lord. And so what do you need to do when you have a week like that and you know you failed the Lord? Then when this altar call is made, there will be tears on this altar. Come on now and help me pray. I said there ought to be tears on this. When you come to the church on Sunday morning or Sunday night and the preacher comes barreling down your alley and you get mad because he's ripped your mailbox off and throwed your newspaper in the bushes and you're just upset at him for delivering the mail the way he does. Hey, don't get mad at the mailman. Amen. God has a plan for your life. Amen. It's not one plan for this church, another plan for that church, another plan for those in the Middle East, and another one's for those in Bolivia. No, there is one plan. Christ is looking for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Amen. A Christian is a Christian no matter in the daylight or the dark, in a foreign country or on the moon. I like it like that. I'm a simple man. I like the Bible. Now, the Lord approached this fig tree. His reason was he was hungry. Why? What caused him to approach this fig tree? Well, it had leaves on it. Are you with me? It had leaved out. Now, my study of a fig tree, which, you know, I just studied it because of the sermon, not because I'm interested that much in fig trees. But according to what I've read, amen, when those leaves appeared and it was the season of fruit. You hear me? Those leaves identified that tree and gave Jesus, amen, the expectation that they would be fruit among those leaves. So that is why he didn't come over and say, oh, I think that's a fig tree, but I may be wrong, but he knew it was a fig tree. Common tree of the country. Amen. Are you there? Now listen, we are in a generation that don't know what a Christian's supposed to be. Everybody's born again. Just ask them. You've heard me tell this over and over. Illustration of life. I preached a revival out in rural retreat area. Went out in that community. We wouldn't have but 8 or 10 people in church every night. And so I went out in that. It had subdivisions out in there. I went and knocked on doors all day long. Couldn't find a sinner in the whole area. Everybody was saved. That's what they said they were. Even a lady, and I don't mean to get off. Don't want to get your mind straying. But I knocked on the door. Another fellow's with me. I, of course, didn't go myself. I had a fellow with me. This lady was sunbathing out on the back. I didn't know it till I come up and knocked to the door. Had a glass door, and it looked straight through the house. And when I saw movement, I saw that she was, you know how people do? I don't know why they do it. Well, I do know why they do that. And she was half naked. I just started to turn away. And she said, come in, and, you know. She didn't put nothing on. You know, naturally they don't. At the mall yesterday, they were half naked in the mall. Nobody arrested them. So, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about just, you know, shorts and a halter top. I'm talking about nearly naked. Y'all don't love me. This woman come to the door, and of course there I stood, you know, and I said, well, at least I thought I got me a sinner here. Till she told me that when I said we're having a revival down on Bumgardner Avenue, and she said, well, praise the Lord. You say, you're making fun of her? It ain't funny. Huh? And her husband led the choir. I won't name the church and maybe scandalize somebody. But what I'm trying to say is people don't even know what a Christian's supposed to be. This Bible will tell you. It'll give you orders, instructions, how to look inwardly, outwardly, how to say things, how to treat one another. Won't it do it? Woo! So if you're gonna, it reminds me of when Alexander the Great, they brought a young man, according to an illustration book I read years ago, they brought a young man to him that had deserted in battle. And so they brought him to him, and it wasn't his first offense. He might have done it more than once. And they brought him to Alexander for the final judgment on him, said, this man has deserted more than one time. What is the verdict? And Alexander the Great asked this boy, what's your name, young man? And he said, my name is Alexander. And Alexander the Great looked at him, and he said, son, if you're going to bear that name, you're going to fight. And he didn't kill him. He sent him back out on the field and said, if you're going to bear my name, you're not going to be a coward. Now, I want to tell you, if you're going to bear the name of the Son of God, amen, the most precious thing in this whole wide world, and you're going to be called a Christian, amen, just like if you're called an electrician, you ought to know something about electricity. Hallelujah. And if you don't know anything about electricity, then call yourself something else. And if you don't know anything about living for Christ, then you ought to not call yourself a Christian.
You're right. Amen, Pastor.
Because the only Christ this world will ever lay their eyes on is you. Am I preaching right or not? He went to the fig tree, and when he got close enough to the leaves, now listen to this, and he said, he saw there was no figs on it. You say, well, he lost his temper. No. He was showing these disciples a lesson. He was showing them, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cursed. You say, oh, how could that? You know what Jesus did to this tree? He cursed it. What does that mean? You mean he used vulgar language? No. He just said, you're not going to bear fruit from this day forward ever again. You won't bear fruit in the season when you're supposed to bear fruit? You'll never do it again. Now, what if he said that to you? What if you just keep playing games with God and you just keep living like the devil, coming to church and singing in the choir, sitting on the pew, putting your offering in, and then you go live like the devil? What if God gets tired of you and says, all right, I've given you a chance after chance after chance, and you won't serve me? And you think because I've let you go, and you not bore fruit this season, I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to bear fruit again. You say, well, that would never happen. He that often being reproved and hardeneth their neck shall what? Suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Do y'all believe God gets tired of playing games? And I know he's a compassionate God, and I don't like to enjoy preaching that line. But it's true in this lesson. Now the disciples were pretty much put back by that. As soon as he cursed that brother Mitch, it was kind of like his kudzu out here on the fence. Do y'all know what happened to that kudzu? Does anybody notice the kudzu dead? Huh? It was cursed this week by crossbow. Is that what it was? Of course, Brother Jeff was shooting a crossbow. And now, that's dead. That's what happened to that tree, that fig tree. When the Lord said, you'll bear no fruit no more, the disciples said, wow, that tree is withered up. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you, you may pretend for a long time. I said, you may pretend for a long time. And people say, oh, they're a fig tree. But you never bear the fruit. There'll come a day when everybody that passes you will say, they've been cursed. They are withered. They're dead. You can't hold it up forever. Huh? And if you do hold it up for this life, and we bury you. Huh? You finally get straightened out. And maybe preach you right on into heaven. And everybody sing, you know, go rest high on the mountain. Huh? But if you wasn't right, you ain't getting in. Now let me. I'm gonna take just a few more minutes. We're gonna get out here early today, earlier than most. All right. Here's the deal. One of the references the Lord made when He showed them this was talking about the Jewish nation, because the Jewish nation that's the people He just had left the temple. They were fig trees without fruit. Those Pharisees and chief priests stood in the church house with all their garb on. And they were wicked. And the Lord said, I came into you, and I've given you this chance. You have been God's chosen people for all these hundreds of years, and the Messiah came into your presence, and you rejected Him. So you're going to be cursed. How many knows that they were cursed? How many knows it didn't take long when they said, let His blood be on our hands? How many knows it wasn't long after they said that they were annihilated? And I'm going to tell you, in our lives here this morning, now listen to me. I know I need to preach a little deeper. I need to go a little deeper with this. But I want to tell you, God expects a certain fruitfulness out of our life. Is that right or not? Now, I could preach to you. I can read you the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first one? Can anybody quote them? What's the first? What is the banner flag waving fruit of the Spirit? What's the first one? Love. Love. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit, you know, I don't have any fruit trees around the house, but growing up, you know, on them old farms, them old home places, that was essential to have fruit trees around. We had cherries and apples, and, you know, even had a little peach tree out there. You know, you didn't lay down at night and the first day of summer, you woke up in the morning and hear stuff popping out on the tree. Pop! There come an apple out on the tree. You know, it's a process. Planting of the seed, watering of the ground, toiling with the dirt, fertilizing, growing, 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 patient, growing. But sooner or later, there ought to be fruit in your life. Amen. Maybe not the first day. You'll have some the first day, maybe. But you may not know. If you were like me, I had never read my Bible. You know. So I didn't really know, you know, what to do next, as far as that goes. I didn't know. But there was something in me that started a process in me, Brother Noah. Amen. And what I used to love, I hated. What I hated, I loved. Amen. And you've heard me tell it. I'd been saved about 3 months, and I was in the barber shop, and I'd come out of the barber shop. You know, I was in the hippie generation, you know, 60s and 70s, and I hate to say it, but you know, we wore hair long like a girl. God have mercy on me. The only scripture my dad ever quoted was a man. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's the only one I don't know. He knew anymore. I went to the barbershop after I'd been saved about 3 months, and I got to feeling bad about you know, I went to got a haircut. Y'all understand that? Huh? I don't have to worry about it much anymore. I need one right now, just around the ears. But they don't have to worry about the top. I finally got that mastered. Hallelujah. I walked out. I got a haircut, and I walked out on the street. Felt like my ears were about that big. You know, hadn't seen my ears in I don't know how long. I know that's awful, and I know, God bless you. Just I wish you hadn't ever been. But I walked out, and I stood on the street, and an old boy came up the street. I seen him get out of his car and come walking up the street. Wild guy. Went to school with him. And when he seen me, he was always kind of wild and reckless in school. And when he saw me, and it was almost a distance to me and Brother Charlie back there, And when he was looking up, and when he saw me, he just crouched down like he was in a position to fight something. That's the way he usually did. That's how he took care of everything. You know, if he wanted to get ahead in line in the lunchroom, he just knocked heads as he got in. That's the way he did. Hey, when I seen him coming, I just said, hey, you want to go up? No need to get my head knocked in. Praise God. But here he was, all crunched down looking at me, and he stalked me as I stood there watching him come up the street. And he just stalked up the street. He got within about 15 foot of me, and he said, Webb, is that you? I said, yeah. And here's what he said, and he's a heathen, still is. He said, you got saved, ain't you?
I've been saved about 3 months.
And he just looked at me and said, you got saved, ain't you? I didn't even know he knew about getting saved. And I said, yeah. Yeah, I have. And he just, I don't know why, he turned and walked back down the street. You say, well, yeah, well, you get saved, there is a change in your life. And I couldn't tell you what it was. It's just something different. Something got to working. But I'm going to tell you, when God, amen, when you quit bearing the fruit of a child of God in your life. Now, I could go down the list. How many knows that it's like one guy said one time that he you know, this preacher told him a big old windy one, and it confused him. He's talking to me, Jerry, and he said, you know, I don't know what to think. He said, I know preachers don't lie, but sometimes I wonder, he said. And I said, me too. I wonder. How many knows you got to tell the truth if you're going to be a Christian? Am I right? You say, I want to go. Well, that's two of us. We're going right now. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of love, joy, peace. Huh? Temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness. Y'all ever hear all of them? Ah, that's for them super spirituals. That's for Christians. I said, that's for Christians. Isn't that right? Paul said, ladies, dress in a way that becometh godliness. There's a standard. And it's not Madonna. Huh? I said, there's a standard that a Christian woman ought to look like. It's found in the Bible. Modest and discreet and shamefaced and sober. Right? Hey, men, there's a way to conduct our affairs like a Christian. By the fruit of a Christian. People just, you know, I've been in line before. And I'm not on me because all of y'all are the same way. But, you know, somebody gave me a whole lot more money back in change than they should have gave me back. And you know, and I said, whoa, thank you, Jesus. No, I didn't. I said, you gave me $50 too much. And the guy standing behind me, there's about six people in line, embarrassed the life out of me, really. He said, hey, y'all, an honest man. You ain't seen one all week, have you? Right there is an honest man. Huh? But really, Christians ought to be honest. Shouldn't they? We ought to look at our example, which is Christ Jesus himself. If we're going to bear his name, we ought to fight the fight. Right? How many loves the Lord? How many got this sermon right in the crawl? Hallelujah. Huh? Let's stand. God bless you.